August the 18th, 2024, for those people listening on our tape, we are in Lesson 9 on 1 Peter, Chapter 4, 1 through 11. So for our quick review, a theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through suffering. And I don't know about you, but it seems like my life's just kind of been bummed out since I started this book. So I'm like, I'm going to have to watch what books I pick, but I'm kind of like, I really thought the Lord wanted us to teach through 1 Peter, and I'm like, it's all about suffering.
So it's your fault.
Maybe he's trying to tell you something.
It might be, yeah. Chapter 1, but we saw the trial of your faith being more precious than gold, verse 17. And so what we saw in chapter 1 was, you know, the Lord does not dislike us and then give us trials to go through and sufferings to go through because he doesn't like us or because we deserved it. He wants to give us trials to see how we respond and go through that trial. Because to the Lord, that is precious. And the Bible says it's more precious than gold. And so when we go through trials in our life, it's to help us to get closer to him. And so, you know, like I mentioned, a lot of these people have gotten cancer, and yet I know when people get sick and they get diseases, a lot of times it'll pull them closer to the Lord. And, you know, what will the Lord allow to happen in each one of our lives to pull us closer to him? And here's the answer. Whatever it takes. And so when you tell the Lord, when you tell Christ, hey, do whatever it takes in my life to help me to be closer to you, you better hold on. Because you don't know what it's going to take. And it may be a lot more than what you...
He's going to be faithful in doing what it is.
Yeah. It may be a lot more than you were expecting. But the Lord will take you for your word. So the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold, chapter 1. Chapter 2, the Christian is to follow Christ in his sufferings. So because Christ suffered, we're going to suffer. Okay? And then chapter 3, which we took quite a while going through, the Christian is to suffer for righteousness' sake. We saw that in verse 14. And now in chapter 4, the Christian is to suffer for the glory of God. Okay? The glory of God. Now let me just read. So glory of God goes in your blank. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says this. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And so we get the privilege of suffering for the glory of God, to give God glory. And so, you know, when we go through suffering, we can look at it two ways. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Or we can look at it like, you know what? I don't care what happens in my life. I'm still trusting God with my life, but I want to give him the glory. Whether it's a good day or whether it's a bad day, God's getting the glory. That's where we need to be. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. And I'm not saying I've been there, but I'm just telling you what I see here. So when a Christian is going through sufferings, there are three books in the Bible to read and to study. So since I like to ask questions in here, I do, don't I? Can I ask questions, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think those three books are?
Job.
Okay, Job. Absolutely right. Number one.
First Peter,
yes.
You guys are taking all the easy ones.
Okay, yeah, they took the two easy ones.
How about Psalms?
Anybody else? I can't let him have all the fun. But you are right, Psalms. Because I think of David in all his going through trials and sufferings in the book of Psalms. How about Asaph? Anybody remember Asaph in the Bible? Asaph's the guy in the Bible. It's like he tells God, I think it's in Psalms chapter 73. He goes, why is it that the wicked prosper? And then the righteous or the people that are trying to do what's right, basically get it in the neck. Now, has that been any of you guys? Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. I'm like, why is it the wicked prosper? A few years ago, I was thinking through this. I'm like, why is it that Clintons never get nailed for anything they do? I'm trying not to be political, but I'm like, why is it that they do the stuff they do and nothing happens to them? Anybody got an answer for me?
It's coming.
It's coming. Okay. Okay.
The devil greases the skid for them.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Because somebody, Satan, is in control of what's going on in their lives, and they're basically following him. They're basically satanic. And so Satan is going to protect his people. So that's why you see all these people that are, and I've got to tell you, they're just not bad people. They're evil people. They are wicked. They are satanic. Okay? And when you follow Satan, he's going to take care of you. Till he gets done with you, then he'll kill you. But anyway, so you got Job, 1 Peter, and Psalms. Maybe not in that order, and I was going to put 1 Peter last. But so if you're going through suffering, read through the book of 1 Peter. So we've already seen that. I know we've been every chapter in this is suffering is just all over the place. And so let's go ahead and read 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 11, because that's where I see a break. And we're going to back up and see what we see. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Okay, so I'm going to stop right there, because that amen is going to be a good break. So what I see here in these first 11 verses of chapter 4 are some more practical things to do as a Christian. So again, I've told you before, everything really breaks down what to know and what to do. It's that simple. The Bible is a book that tells you what you need to know, and it tells you what you need to do. And so we're going to look at that. Some practical advice. Things to be ready, or things to do to be ready to suffer. And you go, oh, well, I don't want to suffer, so I don't want to get ready for it. Well, let me just tell you, we're going to suffer, so you better be prepared. Okay? The first thing it says that we need to do, or the practical advice that I have here, to be ready to suffer, is to arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Okay? So, what words, class, would you say, how would you define the word mind? Okay? It says, arm yourself with the mind of Christ. So what's a good definition for mind?
Brain.
Okay.
Thoughts.
I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I like those answers. You know, knowledge. Okay. Very good. Brain, thought, spirit, knowledge. You know, how do you define your mind? What part is your mind compared to your body? What part is the mind involved in?
Controlling factor.
It controls it. Okay.
Your conscience. Thank you, Crossing.
I like that. And now we're getting a little deeper here. And you know, it's really you could even say your heart. You might even call it your soul. Now I know it's not quite the soul, but I mean it's your being, right? It's who you are. So your mind is who you are. It's your being. Okay? It's all these. Okay. But it also says in the text here, it says to arm yourself with the mind of who? Of Christ. So, here's my next question. What is the mind of Christ?
The Word of God.
The Word of God, the Bible, right? So, so where do we go to look at that? We would go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Let's go take a look at that. Says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it is his word. It is the very words of Christ. So how do we arm ourselves to be ready to suffer? You got to put God. You got to put Christ's words in your mind, in our brain, in our thoughts, in our spirit, in our knowledge, in our controlling factor, our conscience, our heart, and basically in us. Okay, because the mind is basically the person. Okay, so arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Number two, and these are just practical things I'm throwing out here that I'm seeing here, is walk in the Spirit. What should we do so we can get ready to suffer? So there's some things here. So number one, put Christ mind in you, his word. But then we need to also walk in the Spirit. Okay? We have to make a conscious effort every day. I do. And I have a verse that I learned in D1 that is my favorite verse for walking in the Spirit. Can anybody tell me what verse I'm thinking of? It's in Galatians.
Galatians 5:16.
Yes, can you read that for us?
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
All right. So, we've got to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, and we need to walk in the Spirit. That will help us to be ready to suffer. And then number three, put on the armor in your blank, of God. Okay. And so we found it back in the book of Ephesians. So let's go back and look at that. Just read that again. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 13. And again, we're just going practical advice on getting ready to suffer as a Christian. These are things we need to do. Put God's word in our mind. Walk in the Spirit. Put on the armor of God. Verse 13 says, of Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay. Again, practical advice of getting ready to suffer for Christ. And then, along the way here, we are to endure hardness. Now, these are just some things that Lord kind of spoke to me about putting down. There's all kinds of things we could put on this list. But in 2 Timothy 2:3, and of course we know the verse 2:2, that's our discipleship verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the verse we all know, but look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we need to be able to endure hardness. Things, again, things that we need to practice, to get in our life, that when the suffering comes, we'll be ready for it. And then, we need to live our life for Christ. And so we're already in 2 Timothy 2. Go down to verse 4. I stopped at verse 3. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So basically, we need to live our life for Christ. You know, that's hard to do. Because, you know, you hear people, you know, go, well, you know, I come to church on Sunday and I learn about God, but then on Monday I'm out in the real world. And they're like, they're separating the two out. Well, let me tell you, they both mix. They're the same. Okay? There should not be a separation from what we do on Sunday from what we do Monday through Friday or Saturday. And so we need to live our life for Christ. And it's a balance. It's a balance of, you know, living and making a living and doing all those things and yet being the witness we need to be for Christ and thinking of living for Him. Because I know how it goes. We get out there and, oh, I've got things to do. I got to get this done at work. I've got to do this. I got to rush home. I got to do that. And so everything's in a turmoil, but yet we've got to be able to live our life for Christ 24/7, 7 days a week. There's not a difference between the two. It is a balance, but it's basically the same life. Okay? And we need to focus on living that life for Christ, whether it's on Monday morning or Sunday morning. Okay? So, things to get ready to suffer. And then in verse 7, back in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So it says the end of all things is at hand. What do you think they're talking about here? Well, yes, but it would be the second coming would be the end of for what group of people? You are correct. But what group of people are we talking about with that group? I'm not waiting for the second coming.
The lost.
Okay. What are we all waiting for right now?
Rapture.
Okay, we're waiting. Get my mouth wrapped up. We are waiting for the rapture. That would be our end. But if you're in the tribulation, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for the second coming or the end. And so you're sitting here and you're looking at this. Remember I said when we first started 1 Peter, there are some passages in here that would fit people living in the tribulation as well as people living in the church age. And this is one of those passages. Okay. And so they're going to be waiting for the end. Okay. And we're waiting for the end. It's just the two ends are a little different, okay? It's involved Christ, but just different times of his coming. And so these are things it says to be ready. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. And then now we have some practical list of things to do to be ready for that end. Okay. So your blank says number two, it says be ready for the end. Number one, be sober. Now, can anybody tell me what being sober biblically means?
To be watchful and aware.
To be watchful and aware. And it goes deeper than that, though. It means also to be sound-minded. Okay? So when the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are to be sober, we are to be sound-minded. And that's one reason that, you know, we are not to be drinking, because when you drink, you cannot have your wits about you, can you? But it goes more than that. There are a lot of people that are just out there, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and just, you know, have no idea what's going on around them. That's not the way that God wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to realize, he wants us to be sound-minded. He wants us to know what's going on around us. He wants us to know what time we're in, number one. He wants us to know where we are in history. He wants us to know where, you know, what's coming next on the docket for us, okay? And we know, I asked you all, what are we waiting on? Well, we're waiting on the rapture to happen. How would you know that if you didn't have a Bible and if you hadn't studied it? There's a lot of Christians that they have no idea that the rapture is coming next. They're just, I don't know what they're doing, playing church, I guess.
But what happened to the Thessalonians? What did they have to be taught? The rapture had not come.
Right. So they got some instruction from Paul to remind, to get them to that point of what's going to happen next. And you know, that's the way we are to rightly divide our Bible, because if you don't rightly divide it, you're lost in history. You don't know what's coming up next. That's why a lot of these churches that don't rightly divide the word of truth, they don't know where they are in history. They don't know what the next step is coming down. They don't know all these things. They don't know, you know, there's going to be a rapture. They don't know about a 7-year tribulation period. That's why you have some of these people that think the church is going to go through the tribulation. They can't rightly divide the word. Okay? So, but we've got to be sober. We've got to be sound-minded. So again, it goes back to arming yourself with the mind of Christ that we talked about. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's what I think Sharon was talking about here. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verses 6 through 8 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we need to be aware that the rapture is coming up next. We need to be sound-minded in knowing that, okay? So we have a hope that's in us. And so I think I already went down to verse 8. But turn over to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Here's another place in the Bible. It talks about being sober.
What did you say?
1 Peter 5, 8. And it says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So you have to be sober. You have to have your mind about you. And more specifically, you got to have Christ's mind about you. Or you're going to be eaten up by Satan himself. Okay? Like I said, there are a lot of Christians that are just living in la-la land. They are not sound-minded. They do not rightly divide the word. They do not know what to be, how they are to act, what they are to know, what and what will be happening next to them. But we're to be ready for the end, verse 7. So number one, by being sober. Number two, it says, be watchful in prayer. Okay, so turn over to Colossians 2. Now, you guys knew I'd have to put Colossians in here somewhere, right? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, so there's two things a New Testament Christian is told over and over in the Bible. Did I read that right? Or did I read 4-2? Let's see what my notes were. My notes were 4-2. I'm sorry, I told you the wrong one. Okay. So, did you have that in your... Do I have that note there?
2-4.
Oh, you went to 2-4.
That's not what that says.
Okay. And it's 4-2. I'm dyslexic, I guess. So. Anyway. So, there are two things that New Testament Christian is told to do over and over. To be sober and to be watchful. And number one. And three, pray. And so, you know, my own wife and I have had this discussion. Oh, what are we supposed to be watching for?
Anything Satan throws at you.
That. I also think we need to watch about what is going on around us. Not just in our own personal life, but what's going on in society. What's going on with our country? What's going on with the world at this point? We need to have some truth about us so that we can understand where we are again in God's timetable. Okay.
We should be aware of the things that are going on in Israel.
That's true. That is true, as well as the rest of the world. So that helps us to know where we are and how far and how close we are. To the end. The times and the season, you're right.
You know, watch for signs.
And so, we're not Jewish, but yet the signs are there. So,
yeah.
If the signs are there, we need to see them. But, yeah. And we know we're getting closer and closer each day, right? Can you guys see the one world government beginning to develop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when I was a young man, back when I was a teenager, you know, the Left Behind movie series was all out. And so all those things were coming out. I remember all the things that they were saying, well, now we can do this. You know, now they could probably scan your hand. And now they can, all these things are closer to what is going to happen. And yet, it's been 30 years ago. Now everything's way further advanced. And now we can see things just taking place. Not just in our country, but around the world. So we need to be watchful. And it says also in prayer. So we need to be praying all at the same time. And then back in 1 Peter chapter 4, these are, again, just some practical advice to get to be ready for the end. Is to be sober, to be watchful. And then number three, have charity. And especially among yourselves. And who is the yourselves it's talking about here?
Believers.
Okay. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we are really judgmental. Very good. Thank you for that. Against our own brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm like, you know. You want to share with the class? What's that?
Not all of you guys are judgmental.
Yeah. Okay, you guys aren't. I'm just going to speak. I'm probably judgmental with guys. And I've got it. And the Lord's like, wait a minute. These guys are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're on your side. Why are you always wanting to think bad or something about them, you know? And I'm like, so, you know what? That's just human nature. But we need to have charity, especially among our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? It's kind of interesting that they have to spell that out. But that was probably put there for me. Okay?
What if they want to argue with you about the Bible?
Don't argue with them. So, the only, if somebody wants to argue with you about the Bible, just go just say, well, what do you think about this verse? And just show them a verse. Always bring it back to the Bible.
I did that.
Oh, you did that? Yeah. Did that make him mad?
No, I just had a friend post something, and we completely disagree. He says he's a historical eschatologist. I had no idea what that even meant.
Okay.
From what I read, he says, well, go read this stuff and then read your Bible, because you're basically said I was being deceived. So, it's all about the book of Revelation.
Okay.
But he won't tell me what church he goes to. I said, well, what church do you go to? I don't think he goes to church.
Probably doesn't. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, always bring it back to God's Word.
I did.
You know, and I had somebody ask me, said, and again, I'm not trying to get political, but this person, his daughter is, works for the Democratic Party. And he goes, she is always on me. Why do I vote the way I do? And all this. And I basically, he goes, I don't really know how to tell her without offending her. And I go, you know, well, maybe I ought to just go this direction. You know, my Bible tells me I need to follow Christ, and Christ is all about life. So I'm going to go with the politician or the group that says they're for life, because that's what God is for. He's for life. And try to, you know, not pick a fight about it, but at least bring it back to God's Word. You know, I'm going to vote because God says life is important, and that's the direction I go. But we've got to be able to realize, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that are I want to say hard-nosed, or it's, you know, it's my way or the highway, and then if you don't think like I am, you're an idiot. These people are lost. They don't know Christ. They don't know the truth. And so we need to be able to respond to them in a nice, caring way.
Well, I think the first thing we got to do is self-reflect. So I learned a long time ago, I don't know everything.
Okay.
So I'll listen to what they've got to say, and I won't say nothing. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to take what God's Word tells me, what they just said. I'm going to put those two side by side, and then I'll prepare my argument. And I wouldn't even say an argument, but my answer. Because, quite frankly, I mean, people teach me stuff every day that I don't know. So my theory is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's like people saying, well, I won't listen to David Jeremiah because I don't agree with him on this. Well, okay. I don't agree with him on everything either.
You learn from
nobody
him.
Is all-knowing. And so we got to be open so that we don't miss a blessing and some wisdom from something and learn something.
From
yeah, right. Yeah, don't miss the opportunity.
Right. So I think that's where we need to be. We need to be walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to give an answer of the hope that lies within us without being harsh and offensive.
Yeah.
And you got to realize, people are lost. People, you know, I saw a pastor once who was talking about the Church of Christ. And he goes, you know, these brothers in Church of Christ, the majority of them are saved, but they just got some bad doctrine. And so I just want to sit down and show them what the Bible says in a cheering, loving manner. And hopefully it'll persuade them to follow what the book says. And I'm like, I like that, because we don't need to be harsh. We don't need to be mean. We don't need to, you know, scream at people and get in their face, because that doesn't work with me, so it's probably not going to work with them. So we need to have charity, especially among the brethren, but also the lost. We need to have hospitality. We need to speak God's words, and we need to use the gifts that God has given us. That now, that's what I'm pulling out of this, the last few verses in this chapter. And then number three, I don't know if you have that on your handout. People will speak evil of you. Okay? Let me go back and look at this. At verse 3 it says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking what? Evil of you." Okay, so there's going to be people that will speak evil of us because, you know, we don't run with them, basically. Oh, that's happened to me a long time ago. I've kind of got over that. Okay, and why do they do that? You know, why do people make fun of us and call you, you know, a Christian teetotaler or a goody two shoes Christian or what's that, a Bible thumper or any of those things? It's because that we are a reminder of what they should be. And so that way they'll, and hey, I've had extended family members, you know, basically shun me. And you know what? I'm okay with it. I wish they wouldn't, but it is. Why? Because we are a token. Can anybody tell me what a token is?
Representation.
A token is a sign. When we see token in the Bible, it is always referring to a sign, because we are a sign to these people of what they should be. Okay? And so, turn over to Philippians 1, and I gotta wrap stuff up. Philippians 1, 27-30 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them, and basically seem, which you are to them, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So we are a sign to these people, okay? We are a thorn in their side of what they should be. Verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to what? Suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Think about the Apostle Paul, where he went. He wasn't liked by a lot of people, was he? He got chased out of town. He got chased out of church. I've kind of been the first two, but I haven't been beat yet. So I thank God for that. Okay? But think of all the things that he endured and he suffered for Christ. We're going to have the same thing. And so we just need to expect it. We need to be ready for it. And we need to not let it rock our world when people do speak evil against us. And so what do we need to do? We're going to suffer from time to time. And so we just need to suffer for God's sake. That makes it halfway bearable, because Christ suffered for me. I should have the attitude that I'm going to suffer for him while I live here on earth. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the practical advice we see in your book, Lord. And as no one likes to suffer, Lord, we know we're going to, because it, number one, helps us to get closer to you. It keeps us humble. It keeps us to a point where you can use us. And Lord, I just pray that we would go through suffering for you, Lord, in a good way, Lord, and that we would just be obedient to you, and that we would be a good witness to you as we live our life for you, through the good times, through the bad times, and for the times that we suffer, Lord. And we just give you the honor and glory for it. And thank you for believing that we're worthy to just live our lives for you. So we just pray for that. Ask for a good day today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.